1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these three gifts from you. Faith, hope, and charity. Teach us today what each of these three mean to us in our daily living as your children. I ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? No, none of us do. And yet we prepare for the possibilities, the uncertain things, the things that might happen tomorrow. Do you know if you're going to have a car accident tomorrow? No, but we buy car insurance. Do you know if there's going to be a hurricane or a flood or a fire in your home and do damage tomorrow? No, but we have homeowners insurance. Do you know if someone's going to have an accident on your property and be injured? No, but we have liability insurance. Do you know if you're going to get sick and have to go to the doctor or the hospital? No, but we have health insurance. We prepare for things that we don't know if they're going to happen or not. And there are so many things that are uncertain in this world, especially tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, what will happen tomorrow. Now, for many, the uncertainties of life breed fear. But God has not given us the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." So, what are we to do with the uncertainties of life? I believe that's the significance of these three things. And why are they put together for us in this verse of Scripture? They are our defense against the uncertainties of life. We'll consider them one at a time. The resource of faith. Faith is based upon what we understand. You know my favorite verse, or one of them anyway, Romans 10:17, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The word "hearing" in that verse suggests that someone is actually listening, and that in the process of listening, there is actually comprehension or understanding. So that faith actually helps us to face things that we cannot see. Now, we read the verse earlier. You're familiar with this one as well. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And I will probably make a couple of references to this verse this morning. Now, faith is, first of all, the substance of things hoped for. We'll come to that in a bit. But faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith, see, is firmly grounded on things that we understand and therefore can have courage to face them. Blind faith, I think, is not an appropriate term. Blind faith. Our faith is not blind. Faith comes by our understanding of the truth of the Word of God. It has a foundation. It is firmly grounded on sound biblical truth. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You see, we don't believe blindly. No, we can't see God, but we can read His Word. And there is a substantive, evidentiary, that's a legal term from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, the evidence of things not seen, an evidentiary foundation to our faith. Therefore, a faith based on the truth gives us courage to face the uncertainties of life. Daniel chapter 3. Do you remember Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? Well, maybe you know them by their other names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel's three friends. Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. They had refused to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image, and they were confronted by that or about that. And this is what they had to say, Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. If it be so, verse 18, but if not. See how each of those verses begin? Verse 17, if it be so, verse 18, but if not. They didn't know what was going to happen. There were two possibilities. God would deliver them from the fire, or He wouldn't deliver them from the fire. But it didn't matter to them. Why? Because they knew God. Verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. You see, they knew God and they understood some things about Him. They knew the truth. Our God is able. The God that we believe in, trust in, hope in, serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, if He doesn't deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, He'll still deliver us from your hand. We don't know how He's going to do it. There is some uncertainty about exactly what's going to happen. But it doesn't matter because we know God. Throughout the Old Testament, as we observed in part in Hebrews chapter 11, when we had the scripture reading earlier this morning, people faced uncertainty successfully because they were persuaded of the truth. Consider Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Up to this point, it appears from the evidence of Scripture that it had not rained. The earth was nourished by the dew. And so Noah was to build a vessel because in 120 years from now, it's going to rain. Really? No problem, God. I believe you. Abraham in verse 8. was when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. He had never been to the place where he was going, never seen it. Didn't matter. He trusted God. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. No one had ever done that before. It was something unknown. Could it happen? Really? Now we know Abraham and Sarah both struggled for a while with the certainty of that promise. It was uncertain to them for a long while. But finally, because they had become persuaded of the truth, the uncertainty became certain. You see, verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. They were persuaded of the truth of God's word, and therefore they had the courage to face things that no one else had ever experienced. No one knew what it was like. There was so much uncertainty about the things that God asked men to do. Didn't matter. They were persuaded of the truth. And a faith rooted in the word of God effectually works in those who believe. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Effectually, having the adequate power to produce the desired effect. That's what the word effectually means. Having the adequate power or ability to produce the desired effect. For those who believe, the word of God has the adequate power to make us unafraid of anything that is uncertain. The greatest uncertainty of life for mankind in general is what happens to us when we die. For people without faith, death is a dark chasm, a mystery, and it makes people afraid when they die. But for the Christian, we've never died and come back. We've never talked to anyone that has. We've never seen the other side of death. But because of our faith in the promises of God, we are not afraid. You see, faith gives us the courage to face what is uncertain. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the proof that a thing is true. You can't see God, but he is not uncertain because your faith is the evidence that he is real. You can't see tomorrow, but your faith is evidence that God is already there. And there is no reason to be afraid. The resource of hope. While faith is rooted in what we understand, hope is rooted in what we know. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Now this really is my favorite verse of all the Bible. What I based my life upon. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. If you learn something, then you know it, right? Now, why did God take the time to have men write this down? Not so that it could be a decoration on a shelf, but so that we would not just read it, not even just memorize it, but that we would learn it and know it. So whatsoever was written aforetime was written for our learning. And what is the effect of that? What is the effectual working of the Scriptures when we have learned them? That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Faith is the substance of hope, of course, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance, something that is real, something that has a firm foundation. Our faith in the truth of the Word of God is what gives real substance to our hope. Now, how does this work? Let me give you a three-step process. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, you're not that far away from it. You can look at it on the page. So then, faith, you start with faith. Faith is the beginning point. We understand Scripture, and that understanding of Scripture produces faith. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Then, our faith is put to the test. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. So we read the Scriptures, we learn the Scriptures, because of our understanding of the Scriptures, faith comes in our hearts, and then God says, I want to know that your faith is real, so I'm going to put it to the test. James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying or testing of your faith, what will the testing of your faith, when your faith is real, it's genuine faith, and God knows whether your faith is real or not, so he's not trying to find out. Okay? You understand? The test has nothing to do with God trying to find out whether your faith is real or not. He knows that. What he's doing is working effectually, working in you so that you know your faith is real. And how do you know your faith is real? Because the result of the test of your faith is patience. Now, step number three. Romans chapter 5 and verses 3 and 4. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. So, you have read the Scriptures. You have heard them and learned them. And faith is born in your heart. So God tests your faith, and the result of that test is that you have patience. Now, Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Why? Because they test our faith. And what does the test of our faith produce? It produces patience. Watch. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And what does patience do? Patience worketh experience. In other words, as our test of our faith brings about patience in our character, we are able to go through some experiences that are difficult. And through those difficult experiences that patience brings us through, the result of that in verse 4, patience works experience, and experience works hope. Ha! You hear the word. You believe the word. Your faith is tested. It produces patience. Patience carries you through the difficulties of life. And the end result is you have hope. You see, biblical hope is filled with certainty because it is produced from the scriptures, from an interaction of the scriptures in your life through faith, through patience, through the experiences of difficulty, bringing you to hope. All of it is rooted in the beginning point of the scriptures. Biblical hope is filled with certainty because, number one, Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, God cannot lie. Number two, because Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5, the hope that we have is laid up for us in heaven. Now, who can take it away from heaven? There is stored for us, that which we hope for is stored for us in heaven. Who's going to go to heaven and rob our hope away from us? It's not possible. God cannot lie. Our hope is laid up for us in heaven. Number three, our hope is defined by the person of Christ. I quote it at the beginning, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. You should know this, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, where it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. The riches, the wealth, the value, the immeasurable value of this mystery. What is it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ as a person defines for us what our hope is, because what did he do about our sin? Done. What did he do about our condemnation to hell? Done. What did he do about death? Done. It's all done. It's finished. It's overcome. It's removed from us because of the person of Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection, his bearing our sins in his body on the cross and removing from us all guilt and condemnation so that we can enter into the very holiest of all in the presence of God. Jesus Christ is our hope. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, our Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Number one, God cannot lie. Number two, our hope is reserved, laid up for us, stored, protected for us in heaven. Number three, Jesus Christ as a person defines our hope for us. Number four, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and hope. Expectation. Earnest expectation and hope. Earnest expectation and hope go together. A little boy looks at the clock. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. His father promised to come home at 5:30. The little boy plays with his toys, but every few minutes, he glances at the clock. Impatiently, he plays. So the clock ticks slowly around to 3, then 4, then 5. At 5 o'clock, he gets up from his play. He goes to the window and sits in the window, and he looks down the street. 30 minutes he sits there with an earnest expectation. His father promised to come home at 5:30, and he believes what his father said, and he will sit and wait. Knowing his father's coming because he promised. We are that little boy, and Christ is our father, and he has promised to come. Our hope is certain, we have no doubt. He's promised. We believe his word, we trust him. He's coming. And we have an earnest expectation. Go over to Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14 and verse 7. Job chapter 14 and verse 7. It says, "For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant." Oh. It looks like the tree has died. Is there no hope? Oh, yes, there is. There is hope of a tree. At the scent of water, it will bud. Job chapter 19, verse 25. Job says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, after I have died and my body has totally decayed to ashes in the earth, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Just as that tree appears to have died in its root in the ground, yet a scent of water brings it to bud, so we have the hope of resurrection. Though we die in the flesh and our bodies are planted in the ground, because the person of Jesus Christ has given us hope and is our hope, we know that in the day of resurrection we shall rise again, and in our flesh we shall see our God and our Savior. There is no uncertainty about that. Hope in Christ removes all uncertainty. And so we live every day with confidence. With fear gone because of faith, we face the uncertainties of life with courage. With uncertainty gone because of hope, we face all of life with confidence. Faith and hope then become the reason we can be charitable in our lives. Faith is the beginning point. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. You have to start with faith. Start there. Having started with faith, you then progress through the elements of Christian maturity. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. Faith is the starting point. Without faith, you cannot please God. That's where you have to start. Start with faith. But then it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Faith is where you start, but now you have to add something to it. You have to add virtue to your faith. Virtue is a commitment to excellence. I don't want anything less than what's the best. And God only gives the best. Add to your virtue knowledge. Every time I go back to the Word of God, I learn more and more and more. Add to knowledge temperance, as the Scriptures effectually work in me, they give me the ability to exercise restraint. Add to your temperance patience, as I learn how to exercise restraint in my life, I learn how to stay as long as is necessary. Add to patience godliness. With all of this character built in my life, I can then demonstrate through the activities of my life how much I respect and reverence God. And add to your godliness, brotherly kindness. When I have it settled as far as what I think of God is concerned, then I can help one another. And that results in charity. The ability to make whatever sacrifice is necessary to help someone who cannot help himself. Faith and hope together make charity possible. It is the uncertainties of life, you see, that make men focus everything on themselves. I have to protect myself because I don't know what's going to happen. I have to preserve myself. I don't know what dangers lurk in life. I have to make myself the center of everything because I'm afraid. And fear makes me selfish and self-centered. Everything becomes about me. Why don't people help me out of my troubles? Why doesn't God keep all of these troubling things out of my life? Have you ever heard, why does God allow so much trouble in the world? You know, that's rooted in fear and a focus on ourselves. Why does God allow so much suffering? We're living in a generation today that believes this is the way life should be. Me first. I have to take care of myself before I can take care of others. I have to be happy, and I should do whatever is necessary in order to see that I am happy. Don't you dare say anything that offends me. If you say something that offends me, I'm going to tell on you. You know what I'm saying? People get offended by the silliest things these days. If someone won't bake a cake for you, you have to go and report them to the authorities. You know, it's all rooted in fear. When I was a kid, we used to call people like that crybabies. I'm sorry, that's not very politically correct. We can't do that today. But why do people cry about every little thing? Because they're afraid. Their lives are full of fear. Without faith in Christ, they have absolutely no courage to face trouble and uncertainty. Without hope in Christ, they have no idea what tomorrow will bring. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. There is no fear in charity. Why is there no fear in love? Because faith gives us the courage to face what is fearful and uncertain, and hope changes uncertainty into certainty. When you remove fear and you remove uncertainty, we then have the ability to focus our energies on helping others because we're not so concerned about ourselves. Without having to worry about what is going to happen to me, I can concentrate all my energies on the welfare of others. There is nothing so uncertain as tomorrow. And you don't know what tomorrow will bring. Will you have to use your car insurance? Maybe, maybe not. Will you have to use your homeowner's insurance? Maybe, maybe not. Will you have to use your health insurance? We don't know what tomorrow will bring. But if you know God, because you know His Word, and you know Christ, who is the hope of glory, you can face the uncertainties of tomorrow with courage. Philippians 4:13, I can do how many things? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. My faith in the Lord Jesus Christ gives me the courage to say I can instead of I can't. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We can face with faith, we can face with courage all of the uncertainties of tomorrow. If you have already learned the trustworthiness of God through the experience of faith, tomorrow isn't even uncertain to you anymore because your hope is in the God who is already there. And then, with such freedom from anxiety, you can stop thinking about yourself. And even in the midst of trouble, concentrate your energies on the welfare of others. I've had this experience in both settings, either in the hospital or in the home of a shut-in. You go in the hospital, someone's lying in the bed because they need to be there. Something's wrong with their health. You go in the home of a shut-in, they're shut in because they are extremely limited in their abilities. I've had this experience in both of those kinds of situations. I go to minister to them and want to know how they are doing, and they don't want to talk about themselves. Many times they have a list all prepared when I get there of people they want to know about. How is so-and-so doing? And how is so-and-so doing? And how is so-and-so doing? How is it possible for someone who has such a need in their own life that they can be more concerned about others than themselves? How can someone whose car has just been totaled in an accident, or whose house has just burned down, or whose health has just taken a turn for the worse, or whose loved one has just passed away, be more concerned about others than himself? Because he has the courage that comes from faith. He has the confidence that comes from hope. And he has the heart that comes from charity. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. And the greatest of these is charity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need courage. Increase our faith. We need confidence. Confirm our hope. We need to be charitable to those who cannot help themselves. Give us your heart. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.